Hello, and welcome to the Open Systems Media eCast titled, Too Hot, Demystifying Security for Military Data Storage. My name is John McHale, Group Editorial Director with Military Embedded Systems and moderator for today's event. Our speakers today are Bob Lazarevich, Technical Director, Mercury Systems, and Crystal Begay, Product Line Manager with Mercury Systems. Bob has more than 30 years' experience in product development and semiconductor research and development. Prior to Mercury Systems, Bob has held positions as Director of R&D at Microsemi Corporation, Director of Advanced Product Development at White Electronics Designs, and Director of Engineering at Smart Modular Adtron. Bob has a BS and MS in Electrical Engineering from Arizona State University. Crystal has more than 16 years' experience in product management, networking, storage, and cloud computing. Prior to Mercury Systems, Crystal was a strategic planner at Intel and held various engineering positions at IBM. She has a Bachelor of Business Administration, Computer Systems Technology from Northern Arizona University. Both Bob and Crystal are part of Mercury Systems' Microelectronics Secure Solutions Group based in Phoenix, Arizona. Now, before we get started, I have some housekeeping announcements. This and all Open Systems Media eCasts are copyrighted and may not be recorded or used in any way without the express written consent of Open Systems Media. The eCast will consume about 40 to 45 minutes, leaving the remaining time for the question and answer session. I want to point out some important buttons on your screen. First, please take note of the Enlarge Slides button. By clicking on this button, you'll be able to view the slides in full screen mode. Use the Download Slide button to view the slides as a PDF to see them larger. The next important button is the Forward to a Friend button, which enables you to email a friend to register for this event. The third button on your console window allows you to enter questions in real time. We'll do our best to address these questions during the closing Q&A session. If you have a question intended for a specific speaker, please note so at the beginning of your question. Otherwise, I'll hand it out equally to each of the speakers. If you have a question pertaining to the eCast operation itself, one of our technicians will respond back to you during the eCast. Please note that as much as we'd like to, we may not get to all of your questions today. In that case, someone may get back to you after the eCast with more information. This eCast will be archived online and will be available for 1 year. There will also be an MP3 version of the event available. Now I'm pleased to turn over to the first speaker, Crystal Begay. Crystal?
Thanks, John. So, next slide. So through the centuries, the need for information protection persists. Combat has evolved from hand-to-hand to modern warfare or even cyber warfare. So protecting sensitive data is critical to preserving top-secret information, government communication, and even military strategies. So with all the information that the military has to handle on a daily basis, it can be daunting. But one thing is clear, military data is valuable, but secured military data is priceless. So when Mercury designs our products, we have to keep in mind that to fight a battle at a distance, you need intelligence. And valuable intelligence requires data that your enemy cannot access. And securing that data is critical for today's military engagement. So if your goal is to keep data protected, then security must be embedded into the design of the military systems. So there are various types of military data storage, and they're all not mutually exclusive. Therefore, keeping that data secure in every scenario is important. With more and more technology, such as sensor data, real-time embedded, mounted and mobile devices available to collect battlefield data, the challenge of managing high-density data storage and tactical operations takes on critical importance on how that data is either shared, distributed, or sent to command posts, or stored to data centers or clouds. And Mercury provides options to help prevent and respond to those physical and or cyber attacks by reducing vulnerability of cyber attacks, which must be countered in seconds or minutes, rather than hours or days. Next slide. Now let's talk about a certain scenario in 2001 when a U.S. spy plane had to make an emergency landing on Chinese soil. That was in routine on a routine reconnaissance mission when it collided with a Chinese fighter. On board was sophisticated devices, and some experts say the plane's most sensitive equipment was actually the software and encryption devices used for unscrambling military codes. Therefore, China could learn quite a bit from this plane.
So, Crystal, the crew had to physically destroy the equipment. Didn't they have some magic self-destruct button they could just press?
There was no magic button, Bob, but yes, the plane crew had to begin physical destruction of the sensitive equipment. There were also reports that the crew poured hot coffee onto disks and motherboards before the plane landed in Chinese territory, but they also did not know how far the destruction process had progressed. Next slide, please. So, are you smarter than a hammer? And what if there was a better way to secure this data besides physical destruction? There is a better way to ensure your top secret data is secure, and I want to introduce you to Mercury's military-grade SSE for military data storage. And there's no coffee needed, Bob. All right, so taking a look, let's discuss the evolution of SSD from commercial to military grade. It's been about 35 years since the first solid-state drive hit the market, and like all SSDs, it was designed to appear to a computer like a traditional hard drive. The SSD is called solid-state because they contain no moving parts and only memory chips. So you can see the evolution of the solid-state drive from a bulky rotating media hard drive, which lacked in physical robustness and security. And then over the years, as the computer industry's quest for faster, cheaper, and higher capacity SSDs drove storage technology, and this is evident with the availability of the commercial SSD. Now, the commercial SSD improved with some security, but it lacked in robustness. Then emerged the rugged SSD, which provided both security and robustness. The rugged SSD was designed to withstand harsh temperatures while meeting shock and vibration requirements. Then Mercury AssureStore SSD, which is our newest product, is engineered to meet rigorous specs dictated by the commercial solutions for classified. We also have FIPS 140-2 standards and is also Common Criteria certified. Customers and trusted integrators now have a two-layer solution for their security designs to protect classified, secret, and top-secret data. Next slide. So security cannot be bolted on. There are currently two types of SSDs. One is a secure military-grade SSD, and two is a commercial SSD.
But Crystal, I've seen lots of COTS drives out there claiming they can be used for defense applications. Aren't most of those good enough for defense applications in general?
Well, Bob, it actually depends on the application. However, if the drive will hold sensitive data, you have to be convinced the drive implements security correctly. If you have top secret data, you will want to know where your drive is manufactured. And Mercury is a DMEA trusted and U.S. manufacturer. We have multiple security key management modes, which we'll go through later in the presentation, and we also have the destruct capability, whereas the commercial SSD is more focused on a cost-driven model, and do you really know where your drive is manufactured? The manufacturer could have minimal security implementation. There might be no cryptographic validation, so peace of mind and security must be integrated into the design of the security military-grade SSD. Okay, next page. We currently offer, so I'm going to take you through some of Mercury's military-grade SSD options, and we currently offer a 2.5-inch form factor SLC SSD, and we have this in the capacities of 128 through 1 terabyte. They're all secure, self-encrypting SSDs, and we offer two types. First is a TrustStore, and the second is the AssureStore, which you see in the orange arrow there. TrustStore SSDs include AES 256 XTS encryption, sanitization protocols, as well as Mercury's Trust Purge technology. Our AssureStore includes everything that the TrustStore has, but it also has FIPS 140-2, CSFC, and is also listed on the NIAP website as an approved component. We also have our SATA BGA SLC NAND in the 64 gig, and this BGA actually provides a 60% cost-saving reduction over conventional PCB designs. So this is a great product for any kind of embedded defense applications where the 2.5 form factor is too large. We also have the MSATA SLC available in 64 gigs as well, and this supports all of the standard military sanitized protocols. And we have our XMC SLC SSD, and we offer that in 256 and 512 gigabyte capacities. And this is offered in both air-cooled and conduction-cooled mezzanine solutions. So all the SLC products that I mentioned are all I'll support operational temperature range of negative 40 Celsius to plus 85 Celsius. And the last product there is our 2.5 inch MLC 1 terabyte drive, and this is available with all the TrustStore capabilities, and this also supports PCIe Gen 3 and NVMe. Next slide. So I want to talk a little bit more about our ruggedized connectors. Mercury partnered with Hypertronics to create the world's first rugged SATA connector, which also meets the footprint of standard COT SATA devices. And we also support 100,000 insertion and extraction cycles. And we can withstand harsh conditions with a temperature rating of negative 55 Celsius to 100, all the way up to 125 Celsius. So with all this performance, we also pack in extreme rugged performance with 30G of vibration and 100G of shock. So now I'm going to turn it over to Bob so he can discuss a little bit more about our TrustStore and AssureStore capabilities. Bob?
Thanks, Crystal. As Crystal mentioned earlier, our SSDs are offered in two series, TrustStore and AssureStore. The first thing to know is that all the AssureStore models are certified. AssureStore models include all the features of TrustStore, plus some extra features needed for FIPS 140-2, Common Criteria, and CSFC. I know this is a bit of an eye chart on this slide, but it does a great job of listing all the SSD features on one page. So I'll just review a few features from each series. Let's start with the TrustStore. TrustStore has four different key management modes: a self-generated permanent key, a user-filled permanent key, a session key, and a black key. And any of these different key management modes can use an ATA password for authentication. An important feature of Mercury SSDs is the ability to select and fill the encryption key. The encryption keys can fill from a SATA port, an RS-232 port, or a DS-101 port. The DS-101 port allows you to use COMSAT-controlled key fill devices, such as a SKL. For simplicity of initial setup, Mercury ships drives in the self-generated permanent key mode. In this mode, you can take the drive right out of the box, plug it into a SATA port, and start using it immediately. If you need a different configuration, we have an MDU utility to provide a simple way to configure your SSD with the features you need for your application. TrustStore SSDs also support a full suite of secure erase capabilities. These include TrustPurge, FastClear, and 7 Defense Sanitize protocols. And as Crystal mentioned earlier, we also support a no-power, self-destruct feature to disable the SSD permanently. Okay, so let's review some features of AssureStore now. So AssureStore, as I mentioned earlier, includes all the features of TrustStore, plus features required by FIPCC and CSFC. Some of these additional features include known answer tests for all the crypto, a crypto officer and a user role, an extended 64-character password, digitally signed firmware updates, a failed authentication counter, and tamper evident features. If you look at the slide in the lower right corner, there's three images that show an example of tamper evidence. We have custom enclosure screws that are filled with a brittle anti-tamper material. To open the SSD, you need to dig out that AT material to expose the screw. So missing or damaged AT material provides the tamper evidence. And this material, this AT material, is designed by Mercury, and there's no commercial substitute. And as you can see in the images, it has some unusual optical properties that allow a crypto officer to validate its authenticity. So currently, AssureStore is FIPS certified, and we expect the CC certification due in mid-2017. The SSD is already listed on the NSA-approved components list. Next slide. There, thank you. So speaking of certifications, this slide shows a nice progression from good to best. If you need an encrypting SSD for a defense application, you really need to get educated on certifications. And you might think, well, my Contest SSD is from a well-known company. They must have the security right. But if that were the case, the CSSC approved components list would be full of SSDs. In fact, SecureStore is currently the only SSD listed. Okay, let's review this slide. At the low end of the certification, we have FIPS 197, and this is a minimum. You would never want to use an encrypting SSD in any defense application without FIPS 197 certification. Now, what is FIPS 197? FIPS 197 means that the drive has been validated to correctly implement the AES algorithm. You can go to the NIST website and see a list of products that are FIPS 197 certified. The better certification level is FIPS 140-2. FIPS 140-2 is actually very thorough. It requires all crypto algorithms to be tested and certified. It requires modeling of the random number generator, reviews of source code, schematics, state machines, and a suite of tests conducted under different operating conditions. It's really quite extensive and a thorough process. The pinnacle of certification is common criteria, followed by listing on the NSA commercial solutions for classified approved components list. You might not have heard about CSSC. In one sentence, CSSC is all about sequentially layering security. The idea is that one layer, say BitLocker, if it had a security flaw, it would be really extremely unlikely that the second layer would have the same flaw. So my colleague Phil Fulmer and I co-wrote a white paper that's available on our website if you are interested in learning a little bit more about CSFC. Also, the NSA has a nice website that has a lot of details on it. Okay, Crystal, could you give us a quick review of some of the NAND flash that we use in defense-grade SSDs?
Sure. So let's compare SLC, MLC, and TLC, NAND flash. So some of you are probably wondering, okay, well, which is the best option for my solution? Well, the SLC NAND has one bit or cell. It has the best performance, 100K endurance cycles, as well as low power consumption, but the cost is high, and this technology is a good fit for industrial temp requirements or critical applications, whereas the MLC has two cells with better performance, but it also has lower endurance compared to SLC. The reliability is not the best. The power consumption is average. However, the price is cheaper than SLC NAND. This is a good fit for high-end consumer products. And then the TLC, that has three cells, and with overall performance, it's good. It's not the best. The endurance is far less than SLC and MLC. And the reliability is below average, but it's also the cheapest option available. The TLC NAND would be a feature for more low-end consumer products.
So, Crystal, I see a big X in the TLC column. What does that mean?
Well, the TLC column, well, we just want, Mercury feels right now that TLC NAND needs a little bit more time to mature because it currently doesn't have the reliability or the endurance that's required for military operations, and we feel that SLC and MLC offers that.
Okay. I really like this slide. When you first learn about encryption, you'll likely come across this set of images. I think it's a great reminder of what can happen if you don't look at security from every possible angle. So in this example, if you were to encrypt this cute but top-secret image of a penguin with a COTS SSD that uses an ECB block cipher mode, you'd be in trouble. The bad guys, they could take the encrypted ciphertext, and if they arranged it properly, lo and behold, the center image would appear. Details of your top-secret penguin image would be exposed. This happens because encrypting the same data always results in the same ciphertext. If you use a different block cipher mode, for example, XTS, you get what you would expect, random noise, and that's what the third image shows. XTS does this by making sure that identical data blocks encrypt to different values. So for storage products, the XTS block cipher mode is common, and it's a good one to use.
Okay. So now we're going to talk about security fundamentals and how security keys play an important role. So key destruction is dictated by the level of protection required within the environment. And as we see it, the military environment requires a higher level of protection, Bob.
Okay, as Crystal mentioned, over the next few slides, we'll review some of the key management modes that are in our drives and are supported by our drives. But first, I thought we could talk about some terminology. So in the world of SSDs, it's likely that you'll come across the term secure race. Exactly what it is, it seems to vary between SSD manufacturers quite a bit. But in general, it's anything from a fast clear to a multi-pass NAND overwrite operation. It's a general term for all the erase and sanitize operations. Now the next one, trust purge, that one's a mercury term. To us, it means just eliminate the encryption key. Leave the NAND unchanged. Then you have sanitize. Sanitize, like secure race, has different meanings depending on the drive manufacturer. Typically, sanitize is a key purge, a media erase, and then one or more overwrite operations of the NAND media. There are several standardized sanitized protocols used in the defense industry. All our drives support all the popular ones. Cost SSDs don't support sanitized operations, so you won't typically find any mention of them in COTS data sheets. The purpose of sanitize is really to purge, erase, and overwrite the SSD thoroughly enough that all classified data is forensically unrecoverable. Okay. So we have the first key management slide here. Now that those definitions are out of the way, let's review some of the key management modes. I'll keep the descriptions fairly short and simple, and you can review these slides later if you want any more details. Okay, so the first key mode is the self-generated permanent key. This is the simplest key management mode. The drive self-generates the encryption key, and that's it. Actually, most of the world's encrypting SSDs use this mode. Something to consider, though, when you're using drives like this is that since the drive is creating the key, you'll never know the actual key value. And if you ever execute a key purge operation, a trust purge, the drive will go and generate a new key. And at that point, all your data, it's lost forever. One last thing, this mode is fairly simple to use, but it actually requires some sort of authentication. So in this mode, you should always use an ATA password to get some sort of authentication. Because normally, as soon as you turn the drive on in this mode, it'll just come up and be ready to use. So you want to make sure you have that ATA password there. All right, the second key mode is a user-defined permanent key. This key mode is identical to the self-generated key mode, except that the user can supply the key value during the product configuration. You only need to do that once. So after you install the key, the operation becomes identical to the self-generated key mode. One nice advantage of this mode, though, is that if you ever do a trust purge, you can later then refill the key to regain access to your data. So if anything goes wrong on a mission and you think that you're in trouble, you can blow the key and then reinstall it later if it looks like things are okay and get access to all your data. All right, so the third key mode is called the session key. This is yet another user-defined key mode.
All right, Bob, I understand the self-generating permanent key, but what's different about the session key compared to the permanent key?
Okay, well, it's really pretty simple. These other key modes, either the drive self-generated the key or you had to put the key in one time. The session key is a little bit different. The session key, you have to fill the key at each power on cycle to access data on the drive. And the nice thing about that is if you ever remove power, the key is eliminated instantly since it's only residing in RAM. So it's pretty secure in that case. If anything goes wrong, say it's your device is on a mission, you lose power, the key is instantly eliminated and the drive is safe to handle.
Okay,
the fourth key mode that we have is called KEK and Black Key. This one it's definitely more complex. It seems more complex, but when you read about it, it's a little easier to understand. But basically, it combines the features of the permanent and session keys. And it's also the only key mode that fills with an encrypted key. All those other modes that we talked about, you're putting the key in plain text. With this mode, the key that goes into the drive is encrypted.
Okay, so how does this mode work?
Okay, so, well, the first thing that happens is a user will define two keys, a KEK and a DEK. The KEK is a key encryption key, and the DEK, we call that a data encryption key. That's the actual key that is used to encrypt data on the drive. Both of these are just 256-bit random numbers. So the next thing that happens is that you take the KEK and use it as a key to encrypt the DEK. And the result of that is a black key. So once again, you take that KEK, you use it as a key, you encrypt the DEK, and that results in the black key. So now you have both of those things. So the very next thing that happens is the crypto officer or whoever doing the work on the drive to configure it would install the KEK one time into the drive. And now in operation, on every power cycle, you have to insert the black key into the drive. You have to fill the black key, just like you would with the session key. You would just put it in on every power up cycle. And now once the drive gets the black key, it uses that KEK that had been previously loaded during configuration to decrypt the black key, and then it gets the DEK, and it uses that for encrypting and decrypting data. So if you are in this mode, everything's set up and running normally, and you remove power or you give it a trust purge, we'll eliminate the black key and the DEK. So now, just like in the session key mode, the drive is safe to handle. There's no key in there. There's no key to be found. It's quite a safe mode. And the only way you can ever get rid of the KEK is to do a secure erase operation. All right, so I took all four of these key management modes and put them in a summary matrix chart that you can see here. And if you're interested, you can review this a little bit later. You can also download our FIPS 140-2 security policy from the NIST website for additional details. It has block diagrams of our architecture. It has details on the security strength in different terms than you see in the chart here. There's a little more room in that manual. It talks about known answer tests, all kinds of things like that. So it's a great document to look at if you're interested in learning a little bit more about how our drives work. And for people that actually and customers that actually use our drives, we have a programmer's manual that's like the down at the lowest level, goes over all the details of how the different commands work and all the drive features, and that's available as well. Okay, so Crystal, now that we know some better ways to provide security for data at rest, what do you think? Should we maybe revisit the spy plane scenario?
Yeah, we should. So let's revisit that spy plane scenario. What if the crew has secure military-grade SSDs? Well, Mercury's trust purge destroys keys in less than 30 milliseconds. Mercury's AssureStore also performs a hardware-based fast erase in less than 8 seconds. So all of Mercury's SSDs support popular sanitation protocols, and all of these protocols perform a fast clear operation followed by one or more override operations.
So it seems like it really is possible to create a single system-wide self-destruct button.
That's right, Bob, and we don't even need a hammer or a coffee.
Well, that would be really good.
Okay, so going into the next slide. So now we want to pose the question, which security option is right for you? After reviewing Mercury Secure SSDs, we've established that the AssureStore is better than a COTS solution. The Sure Store is CSFC, FIPS, and CC certified. Mercury is also a DMEA trusted facility. The Sure Store has third-party certification and also has built-in hardware encryption and even gives you options on key management, as Bob discussed. So we meet all military data purge and sanitization protocols. And to top it all off, our SSDs have rugged packaging to protect your data from harsh conditions.
Hey, Crystal, I see in the cost column, right in the middle there, it says the built-in hardware encryption. There's a question mark. What does that mean?
Well, there are some COTS products that do have encryption, but the encryption may not be certified or it may not be properly implemented. It is also possible that portions of the drive may not be encrypted or key values may not be properly protected. They could even be in plain text. How do you really know, Bob?
Yeah, I guess you would know. I mean, people just use these things. They don't really have any way of telling.
Exactly.
Interesting.
Yep. So we want to... If we don't have any questions, I want to thank everybody for attending our webinar. You can learn more by downloading our white paper and access the additional resources that we had mentioned during our presentation. Just follow that link, and I'm going to go ahead and pass it back to John.
Thank you, Crystal and Bob. Excellent presentation and discussion. So why don't we continue it by bringing in the audience. Let's go to our Q&A right away. First question from the audience. Does Mercury provide support of the SSD drives?
Oh, yeah. We do a great job at that. I ran the group for several years since it started in 2009. And basically what we did, we always wanted our customers to be successful. So we're in the middle of development and a customer calls with a problem. We stop what we're doing. The engineers, all of them that designed the drive are right here. We have all the IP, all the source code. Everything's available. We work with a customer, get through the problems, that's a good way to find out, new ideas for new features too. So I think we provide some of the best support you could ever possibly find out there for SSDs.
Okay.
That's a good question.
Next question from the audience. You covered this in one of your slides, but if you don't mind repeating it for the audience just in case. The difference between SLC and MLC.
So when you go to the electronics store, I'll take that one. You can, if you buy like a USB stick, that's MLC NAND, and it's pretty inexpensive for the most part just because of the way it's constructed and the sheer volume of the devices that are made. But it has problems with temperature. It has problems with data retention. For example, if you built an SSD drive out of MLC and you wear it out, once it's worn out, and it may not take too long, depending on how it's used, the data retention could be a matter of hours or days. Now, SLC is a little different. It's generally 10 times the endurance. It has wonderful temperature characteristics. In other words, all the way across the minus 40 to plus 85 and all over temperature and time, the data doesn't discharge. It doesn't forget. It's much better flash. But the problem is it's far more expensive. Additionally, it's faster. Typically, you can program a little quicker and erase a little quicker, but the SLC designs are a little bit older. The MLC designs are newer. It's less expensive. And the MLC designs have faster interfaces. So typically, even though the MLC can be slower, you often find that the drives made with it are far faster. Most of our drives run in the 200 megabytes per second range. Our newer drives will be about 1 to 2 gigabytes per second, and they'll have SATA and NVMe Express interfaces. But in general, if you're going to have a military application and you need a long-term data retention without any problems at all, you would want to use SLC. If you, for instance, were running a mission-type application, say you had a plane that went out, filmed image data, and then came back and dumped the data, that's a perfect application for MLC. You really don't need any data retention as long as you have as long as you get your data off within, a couple of days or so. You could use it long past the wear out point. And so SLC works really well for high performance, sustained performance, where you need good data retention, fewer errors. MLC, mission applications, it's really good for. The other thing I didn't mention is SLC doesn't require a lot of error correction. But MLC, you really need a significant, you need some pretty advanced error correction to survive the kinds of errors that you get with the MLC. So a little bit of a long answer, but I wanted to be as specific as I could.
Oh, no, please be as thorough as possible. Next question from the audience is for Crystal. What type of interfaces do your drives support?
Well, currently we support SATA on all of our drives. And we also, our latest 1 terabyte drive supports PCIe Gen 3. However, we own a lot of the IP in-house, and we can accommodate and customize interfaces to meet any of the customer's needs. So,
yeah, that's a good point, Crystal. We own all the IP. That means all the source code. We can go in at a moment's notice, like next week, assuming we could get it into the, you know, the engineering pipeline. We could go in and change our we can change anything. We could add a new interface. We could add new features. And, frankly, we have a lot of customers that come in and say, we like the drive. We like everything about it. We like the security. But we need this special feature. Can you accommodate us? And, yeah, as long as the volumes are reasonable, we can certainly do that. And adding another interface is something that we can certainly do if necessary.
Definitely.
All right. Thank you both. And to the audience, keep those questions coming. We've got a lot here. Next question, is it possible to back up and restore and exchange Azure store drives?
Can you read that again?
Yes. It's question 13, by the way. Is it possible to back up and restore and exchange your Azure store drives?
So once the key is in these drives, they operate just like you would expect a regular hard drive to run. In other words, you have to get the key in. If there's a password, you have to put the password in. But once all that's done, you wouldn't even know you're encrypting. And that one mode that I talked about, the self-generating key mode, most of the drives in the world that are self-encrypting use that mode. And once they're – it's basically you just – turn on your computer, you log in with a password, and it boots, and everything is just fine. You can copy, you can back up, you can do anything that you want in that respect. And if you are copying, say, from drive A to drive B, the processor, the host system is going to read data out of the drive. It'll be decrypted at that point. You'll be copying it and putting it on to another drive. And if it's one of our drives or someone else's that's encrypting, that drive is live and the key is in there, and it'll take that plain text and encrypt it. So it's all kind of transparent, and it all works in the background. I hope that answers the question. One other thing that might be interesting to point out, I guess, I think I'll mention this, is if you had a scenario where you had two drives in a system, one of them could conceivably have one encryption key, and the second one could have a different encryption key. So you could read data up from one drive, it comes up to the host as plain text, and then write it down to the second drive, and once it's in the second drive, it's encrypted, but with a different key, so the values could be different. Now, you can't, for instance, take a drive and just put it on a cloner if there's any sort of authentication. Now, if the cloner knows how to deal with the authentication, then you would be fine. And it may be that that's something about what this question was hinting at. I'm not sure. Let's have another question. What do we got?
Let's see. Next question. Will there be any?
Well, I'm sorry. I was on mute. I'm sorry. Do you think this? I was saying it out loud. I'm like, Bob, do you think AES 256 encryption is good enough for military applications? That one's assigned to you.
Oh, okay. That's a good question. Yes. You know, really, when you come down to encryption, as long as the key value is random enough, and if you're loading your own key, you can use any number of methods. Maybe someone could supply you the key. Maybe you get the key from the NSA, whatever, wherever it might come from. As long as it's random, and the encryption is going to be really good. Now, all that said, you're going to start hearing about quantum computers between now and the next 10 years or so. And the thought is that within 5 to 10 years, probably AES 256 isn't going to be good enough to sustain, you know, like a someone trying every possible key value to break your key. So in the future, we expect to see that AES might go to 512, or there'll be new quantum encryption algorithms that come out, or different schemes. And that's something that Mercury is following really closely, because it's an interesting topic, and we'll probably be one of the first people out there with drives to use quantum technology.
Thank you. There's another question related to that, and what will be the driving requirement technology of secure drives 5 or 10 years from now? So you're kind of thinking it's going to be anything to kind of deal with quantum computing and how they break the encryption. Are there any requirements coming out from the military now to get you to start looking at that?
Well, it's interesting that you should say that. The CSSC website, if you ever go and look on there, it's kind of interesting because you can get a really good sense of what the NSA was thinking about with their CSSC program. And right in one of the documents, and I wouldn't have expected to see it where I did, they're talking about CSSC, and suddenly they start talking about quantum algorithms and you know, AES and things like that. So they are definitely concerned about it, and there was a couple of comments in that document that there will be some countermeasures or different algorithms coming out or that they're working on. My guess is that they may exist. They just aren't mainstream yet. We don't have access to any of that. We certainly expect that we'll be, as I said earlier, we'll be one of the, one of the first to go with that. And another thing that I should probably point out is that the way we designed our drive, it's very modular. So the encryption core that we use, we could take out and we could put in a different encryption core. Now, we wouldn't put in any random encryption core, obviously, but there's some Suite A algorithms that the government has that we could potentially use in our drives as well. And we're expecting that we will have some products like that potentially if we find a partner within the next few years as well. But okay. To answer your question, there's really nothing specific coming out yet. There's some guidance that we expect to see within a few years, but we haven't heard anything specific yet. But for now, AES 256 is quite good. You'd never want to use AES 128, 128-bit keys. You wouldn't want to do that. And then, of course, when you look at the CSSC program, they talk about sequentially layered security. So you would have, for instance, our drive could be one of the layers that we talk about, and it has AES 256. A second layer could be BitLocker or some other mechanism that would do a second layer of encryption. So all these things provide quite a bit of security. And there's one other thing to keep in mind. All these drives, when you use them in the system that you design, you're going to have some authentication factors of different sorts. In our drive, maybe it's putting in the proper encryption key, because we don't just take the key and use it. We make sure that it's the right one. We take the key, whatever key comes in, we'll hash it and compare it to a hash. There's also a password that comes in that is used to unwrap the encryption keys. So there is a lot going on there. And if any one of those things that come in is wrong, we increment a counter, and you can set that counter with our configuration tools or code that you write. For example, you could set it to five different chances to get everything right. And after five chances, the drive will erase itself. It erases all of any critical IP that's in there and, of course, all the NAND media. So it can become pretty secure. And when you consider that if a drive is in the system and has a lot of important and sensitive information on it, if you pull it out of the system or the system loses power, there's no key on the drive anymore. You could forensically take the NAND chips off, go through every cell, look through everything. You won't find any encryption keys because they're just not there. And that's something that you can't really do with commercial drives, COTS drives. First of all, you don't know for sure if they have the encryption keys stored out there somewhere. With these certifications, the certification labs come through. They're doing code walkthroughs with us. They have us make special builds to prove that certain error mechanisms to watch for different things actually work. It's quite an involved process, and you really can't expect to see that with a COTS drive. If you have these certifications, you're in pretty good shape. That you know pretty well that the drive has all the right things in place in there for security.
Okay. Thanks, Bob. Next question from the audience. Does Mercury have examples of customers and or markets that they are currently pursuing for these solid-state drives? Are there markets other than the military you're targeting? I don't know if you can mention key customers.
We still can't mention key customers, but definitely the market that we're pursuing is the defense market right now. I mean, a lot of our drives definitely offer our defense and our defense industry the security that they need.
Are there other markets with similar requirements, though, that might want to buy SSD drives like this?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of different markets. We're actually, this is a good time to bring this up. We're building a rad hard SSD. It's probably not and the idea is that our drives, while they're good for terrestrial use, I better not try to say that one again. they're not great for satellites and deep space. And we recognized this really early on, back in 2009. And, you know, from a radiation point of view, it presents some special issues with drives. So the thought was that we would, when we were ready, we would take our drive and then convert it to a format that we can survive high radiation. So we're doing that now. It's going to be an FPGA-based drive. It's going to use a micro-semi rad hard SSD. I'm sorry, rad hard FPGA. The other interesting thing about that design is it seems like the satellite people and the space people, they must have a lot of data. I guess there's they need 1 or 2 or 3 gigabytes per second of performance, read and write performance. So it will be one of the faster SSDs that we make. It has to be SLC, so it's going to be really expensive. That's a little bit offset from the fact that the FPGAs and the rad hard parts that you need are amazingly expensive. Just the FPGAs for that are, you know, many thousands. I mean, like $40,000-$50,000 just for the FPGA. It's pretty amazing how expensive these parts are. They have to go through so much testing for the flight units, so it kind of makes sense. But so that's a market that we're looking at, is the space market. We'll come out with this rad hard SSD. A first generation one will be more like a data recorder, and then in the second and third generations, we'll add many new features to those. Other markets that we're looking at, the transportation market, like trains, planes. I recently came back from a trip to Europe, and I was on one of the newer Boeing planes. And it's really interesting because you're sitting in your seat and you're looking ahead, and on the seat back of every seat in the plane, and there's, you know, hundreds, right? Everyone's watching a movie. Every movie's different. Every movie is at a different spot, and if it's the same movie, all that is run by SSDs, you know, to get that kind of performance. So there's a market there in that transportation. Anything else that I'm not thinking of? There's just certainly industrial. We had some applications where for farmers they're using GPS and they use the drives to map different things. What else? We've had. There was one company that was exploring for gold up in Alaska in that area that came to us with a project. So there's all different kinds of things that we run into, but generally it's defense, especially with security. And you're working with the military and you're collecting gigabytes of data, you want to have security for it and you want to have ways to purge it real quickly.
Do you get a percentage if they find any gold? Do you get a couple bars?
Yeah, I was hoping for a trip, but I didn't get one.
Okay. Next question from the audience. What OS do you support, Windows, Linux?
That's a really good question. It took me a while to get my hands around how SSDs work when I first started getting into the business. But basically, if they're standard SATA drives, if we're talking about Trust Store and Assure Store, and then that means that any OS, if your OS can support any kind of a SATA drive, our drives will just plug in and work. Now, where you can run into trouble is if you get into any mode other than a self-generated key mode, you're going to have to find a way to get the key into the drive. So we have the 232 port on the outside. You could use that, or you could write smart log commands to put the key in. And we have, you know, software examples on how to do all this, and we have a configuration tool called MDU to help with that as well. So it will work with any OS out there as long as they can
support a regular SATA interface. And then going forward, NVMe Express is getting very popular. I mean, it's going to eclipse SATA probably within a few years. And amazingly, they're very fast drives. Our drives, we've been focused mostly on security, so our drives, the performance is in the 200 megabytes per second range. Now that we're looking, you know, I don't want to say we're done with security, but now that we've got most of our certifications in place and the code is pretty stable, we're looking at boosting performance. And we're going to go right from 200 megabytes per second to well over a gigabyte per second in one step. And it's pretty exciting.
All right, thank you. Next question is for Crystal. You mentioned how with some commercial drives, you don't always know where they were made. Is made in the USA becoming a standard requirement for all purchases of military secure drives, or should, and if not, should it be?
Well, right now we've definitely seen a trend where some of the requirements that are coming in for military applications do actually require that the hardware is made in the USA, or at the very least, is DMEA certified, so they understand where all the components are coming in. Suppliers who are supplying the Mercury are actually coming in from the U.S. and it's all certified. That actually is becoming the trend that we're seeing right now.
And all of your products are made right there in Phoenix, is that correct?
Correct. All of our products, all of our SSD products, are made here in our Phoenix facility.
Right, and all the engineers that designed it, the whole team is cleared. So all our labs are controlled. All the source code is under revision control and, locked down pretty well. So
yeah.
It makes it really easy for us to make custom designs and keep the security high on everything that we work on.
All right. Next question is for Bob. How are reduced size, weight, and power requirements common throughout military electronics affecting secure SSD tech designs?
That's a good question. You know, a lot of our drives go into aerospace applications, so the weight can become an issue. And if you take our drive and compare it to, say, some of the COTS drives that are out there, you can tap on a COTS drive and it sounds kind of hollow, but if you tap on ours, it's literally solid. There's very little airspace in them. So there's a lot of metal. And they're a little bit heavier. So maybe sometimes that isn't the best thing, but we're also one of the most rugged drives that are out there. When we did our testing at a third-party lab, we went up to 4,500 Gs. And this is while the drive is operating. And when we would hit, you know, provide that shock, the whole building would shake, dust would come off the floor from the concrete, and the drives, you know, they survived, and we couldn't go much above that. But you need that kind of a strong structure to survive, those kinds of G values and things like that. But it does add a little bit of weight, and that is a problem for some customers. And in some cases, we've made slightly thinner cases, thinner shelled cases that are a little bit lighter. Power is another good part of this equation. We talked about how the drives at 200 megabytes per second. We're in about a 2-watt range, 3-watt range when we're at 200 megabytes per second. But when you go to a gigabyte per second, just the NAND flash alone takes an incredible amount of power. And, you know, you can be up in the 15 to 20-watt range pretty quickly, and that isn't always a great thing to have.
Okay. Thank you, Bob. Next question is for Crystal. Will there be any upcoming events and or trade shows where audience members can see Mercury Secure SSD products and meet with your team?
Yeah, definitely. We have a couple of events queued up. We have Space and Missile Defense Symposium August 8th through the 10th in Huntsville, Alabama. And then we're also going to be at the Air and Space Cyber Conference September 18th through the 20th at National Harbor, Maryland. And then we're also going to be attending the AUSA, and this is the U.S. Army show on October 9th through the 11th in Washington, D.C. And then we're also attending the Precision Strike Technology Symposium on October 24th through the 26th at Laurel, Maryland.
Thank you. Next question for Bob. What are the obsolescence challenges with secure SSDs, and how do you manage them at Mercury?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Really, really good, because obviously, whoever submitted that knows that that's an issue with SSDs. The NAND flash typically, like the SLC NAND, would go EOL every few years. SLC is approaching the end of its life. In other words, we would expect it in within a few years, maybe 5 years, maybe a little longer. There will be no new generations of SLC, and it'll all switch to MLC or 3D TLC or QLC, or you know, who knows what's beyond there, or Crosspoint. There's all sorts of possibilities. Basically, if we have a product that we want to continue, we will just redesign it to use the newer generation flash, and you know, mitigate the wear out issues in one way or another, so that we get the same performance, data retention. So we might have to over-provision. For instance, if it was a 1 terabyte drive and it was SLC, we might need to make it a 2 or 3 or 4 terabyte drive as a MLC, but make it still look like a 1 terabyte so that we can kind of get the same effects there. We can also bank flash. For instance, the older generation Samsung flash, we bought $several million worth of flash at one point to bank it for certain customers, and that's a possibility if some customer needs, you know, long-term access with absolutely no changes. But in general, you have to go with the technology. It's always changing. It's always improving, and there's always going to be EOLs. And so we go with the flow. We just try to make sure that the new product is at least as good or better than the previous generation.
Thanks, Bob. And I think we have time for one more question here. It's for Bob. How are Mercury's Microelectronics Secure Solutions Group products, your SSD, integrating with other Mercury solutions such as embedded computing systems now that it's been a year, I think, since the acquisition?
Yeah, so you will see more and more of our products working their way into the different systems that Mercury makes. We're starting a project later this summer for a very thin, super fast BGA solder down part, and there's some of those that exist currently on a lot of Mercury products. So you know, we're moving them in slowly, and in a lot of cases they'll be custom designs to match exactly what Mercury needs and bring some new features to what we have as far as security and things like that. We have servers, and you know, we can put our drives in there. It's just starting. But, yes, we definitely are heading in that direction, and that's something that we'll see lots more of. It makes it very easy when you're working with an internal customer because they can tell you exactly what they need, you know, all the problems that they have, and you can customize it pretty easily. And we're, like I said, we have all the source code, everything here, so it's very simple for us to make modifications and custom designs fairly easily.
Thanks, Bob. That brings us right up to our time limit for today. Sorry if we did not get to all of your questions. Someone may get back to you after the ECAS with more information. I'd like to thank Bob Lazarevich and Crystal Begay for speaking and Mercury Systems for sponsoring today's event. Please remember that this and all Open Systems Media ECAST are copyrighted and may not be recorded or used in any way without the express written consent of Open Systems Media. This ECAST will be archived online today and be available for 1 year. There will also be an MP3 version of the event available. Thank you all for attending, and I look forward to seeing you on future Open Systems Media ECAST. Goodbye.